I Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 322. The hymn number 322 on the page 306. I hear the Saviour say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." 322, 322 on the page 306, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Together in prayer, let us just look to the Lord for his blessing and presence this evening. Our loving God, our gracious eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight with joy in our hearts, with thanksgiving in our souls, rejoicing, O God, in Christ our Saviour and what Christ has done for us. We thank thee, O God, tonight even for the words of this hymn writer, how the hymn writer could say, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." And Father, we thank thee that thou hast pardoned our iniquities. Thou hast blotted out our transgressions through the blood of the Lamb. And we thank thee, O God, for the great promise of the gospel that thou hast said to thy people that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that we are complete in Christ, that we are accepted in the Beloved. We who once were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And truly, Lord, we can say tonight as thy people that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Father, we just thank Thee, O God, tonight for all Thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us, even since we've last met together here in this fashion. We thank Thee for Thy hand of blessing upon us today in our going out and our coming in. We thank Thee for watching over us, for Thy protection, Thy preservation, Thy provisions in our life. We thank Thee, Lord, for every temporal mercy, every token of Thy love and kindness and grace toward us. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy so great salvation, that it will stand not only the tests of time, but all of eternity to come. We thank Thee, Lord, for we have a great hope, that Thou hast said to Thy people, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that we have a place being prepared for us in heaven's glory, a mansion bright and fair. Lord, as we come to Thee tonight, do bless our coming together, O God, we ask. We realize it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt draw near tonight from this opening hymn to the last amen. Grant us a real sense of the presence of God in this meeting house tonight, O God. And do pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us. Bless us, O God, as Your people around Thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank Thee tonight for all who have been able to come, and bless every head bowed before Thee. Our faces would differ, so do our needs. But Lord, we're looking to Thee to come by Thy Spirit and come by Thy power and by Thy grace and meet us, Lord, at the very point of our need. Bless us around Your word. Bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. Give us help tonight to pray. Pour upon us the spirit of prayer and grace and supplication. Help us, Lord, to seek Thee, to call upon Thy name. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Do remember those that cannot come tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt minister to them by the grace of God. And for others who have lost loved ones in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts by the mighty grace and by the mighty power of God. Again, we thank Thee for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna. Bless all the boys and girls who heard Your word. And Father, we pray that that word would live on in their hearts many days, we pray, and that through Thy word each one of those children would be made wise unto salvation, that they would be blessed in the things of God, and led on with Thyself, we pray. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember our nation for good at this time of national mourning. We realize, O God, that the men and women need the Lord, and we pray that even at this time, O God, that there would be that looking unto Thee. Remember our royal family. Have mercy upon them, we pray, and may they know Thy grace and Thy strength and Thy help to be their portion. Remember, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed tonight, in gospel missions and prayer meetings such as this, we pray, bless the going forth of Thy word in these days, and grant times of refreshing and revival from the presence of the Lord. Do us good now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Abide with us tonight, O God, we ask. And may we go away rejoicing tonight that we've met with Thee, that we've heard the voice of God to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 360, or 300, and I'm not sure, just had the wrong number. 465. I was looking at the wrong number. 465, 465. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. 465 in the page 364. We'll stand again as we sing. tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of the Psalms, to the Psalm 101 for our Bible reading, Psalm 101, and then turning from there over to Colossians chapter 4. And I want to read just two verses from that chapter, verses 5 and 6. We're reading, first of all, from Psalm 101, and then turning over to Colossians chapter 4 and the verses 5 and 6. And while you're looking those passages of Scripture up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see you all have been able to gather with us tonight. Bid you a very warm word of welcome in the Lord's name. Our prayers, the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Remember the services and your prayers over the weekend. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting recommences here. That's followed by the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Be much in prayer for those meetings. And then the services here in the Lord's Day morning, Sunday school Bible class at 11 a.m., morning worship service at 12 noon, service of thanksgiving for the life of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, and then the evening gospel service at night at 7 p.m. And both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. So pray for these meetings. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word on the Lord's Day. We're reading tonight, first of all, from Psalm 101, and then turning over to Colossians chapter 4 and the verse number 5. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this evening. Psalm 101 and the verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbour, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And then turning over, please, to Colossians chapter 4 and the verses 5 and 6 of that chapter, where it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen. And may the Lord bless this reading of His Word to our hearts for His own name's sake. Tonight we just want to look at those final two verses that we read there, Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Now back in that psalm that we read, Psalm 101, in that psalm, David, he says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Now, as a Christian, David's concern was that his behavior, his life, would glorify the Lord. And this is really the burden and the desire of the Apostle Paul for the Colossian believers to whom he writes these words here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Indeed, prior to this, Paul himself, he asked the people to pray that his own behavior would exalt the Lord. Well, in these two verses here before us, his desire is that the life of the Colossian Christians would honor the Lord. Notice how he begins verse 5. He begins the word there, verse 5, with the word walk. And Paul really desired here by using that word walk here that the life, the walk, if you like, the character, the action of these Christians in the church of Colossae would honor the Lord. In other words, their life would match their profession of faith. We read in the Old Testament of Enoch and of Noah, and they lived in very ungodly times and very ungodly days, yet the Bible says that they walked with God. And this really was the burden, the desire of the heart of the Apostle Paul for these believers in this church in Colossae, that they too would walk with the Lord and walk in the ways of God in their day and generation. And brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting, can I say this? Same applies to you and I also tonight in this prayer meeting. Yes, our walk, our life is to glorify the Lord as Christians. Our walk, our life is to be consistent with the profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is God's will for you and I tonight who are saved, whether we're saved a long time or recently have come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior, it's God's will that you and I walk with God and walk in the ways of God in this ungodly world, in this ungodly age in which we live. As we then would consider then this matter of Paul's desire for the Christians in Colossae to have that behavior, that testimony, that walk that honored and glorified the Lord, they're just four things I want to set before you briefly regarding this matter tonight. Notice first of all here how as Christians we are to be wise. Notice what it says there in verse number 5. It says, walk in wisdom. And that really shows us that as Christians we need wisdom. Wisdom, yes, to display the right character. Wisdom, yes, to say the right word, to recognize the right time, to employ the right tact, as it were, in dealing with others day by day as the people of God. Yes, we need wisdom. It says here, walk in wisdom. But praise God, there's a wonderful provision of wisdom for us, for you and I as believers in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ and says Christ Jesus has made unto us wisdom and all the wisdom that you and I need to live the Christian life, dear people of God, is found in Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Indeed, the way for us to know that wisdom and indeed to live out that wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord in our lives is by prayer. And by seeking to follow the very example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You turn with me your Bible back to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And look at verses 9 and 12. And here you have the burden, the prayer of Solomon, the son of David. And look at what he prayed. Look at what he longed for in this life. In the early part of his life. And verse 9 and verse number 12 of 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And he was praying here for wisdom, for an understanding heart. And look at the answer in verse 12 of the chapter. The Lord says, behold, I have done according to thy words. So I have given thee, notice it, a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. God gave him, it says there, a wise and an understanding heart. He was given wisdom from the Lord. And the Bible says to you and I in the book of James that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And daily as Christians, you and I need wisdom. How important it is that we pray and we seek the Lord for that wisdom, that understanding that comes from the Lord. And may we show forth the wisdom of God by praying for wisdom from the Lord, and then by following the very example of Christ himself as God's people. The Bible says in 1 Peter, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. We're to follow in the steps of Christ. And when Christ lived here on earth, his testimony was one of perfect wisdom. It was one of complete wisdom. And if we are to walk wisely, then we are to follow the example of Christ in our life day by day as the people of God. This was the burden of the hymn writer. My speaking of the Lord, they could say, be thou my wisdom, thou my true word. My their desire was to have that wisdom of the Lord and to walk wisely in the ways of God. Yes, as Christians, it's important, yes, if we are to glorify the Lord, that we walk in wisdom. But not only are we to walk in wisdom, notice something else here from our text tonight. As believers also, we must be considerate toward those who are unsaved. If you look at what Paul says here in our text, he says, walk in wisdom, notice it, toward them that are without. And when he talks about those who are without, there he's speaking of the unsaved, of the unconverted, the unregenerate. And my, in all our behavior, yes, we must be wise in our dealings with the unsaved. That's really what he's saying here. In other words, we must be considerate of such. This is vital, yes, if we are to see them saved and won to Christ. You see, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. And if we are to win souls to Christ, we must be wise in our dealings with others as we interact with them day by day. My, such consideration of the unsaved in our behavior is vital, yes, if we ourselves are to avoid being a hindrance to others being saved and to others coming to Christ. My, yes, if we as believers unwisely live only for self and live only for sin and the things of this world, then as the hymn writer rightly says, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. How important then it is, as it says in our text, that we seek to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And if that is to be so, we need the mind of Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, and look there at what Paul says in verses 3, 4, and 5 of that chapter. Bear in mind he's writing here to God's people. And he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we think of Christ tonight, he was always considerate of others and of their needs. That's how it is to be with you and I as Christians in this world, in this scene of time. It says there in verse 4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And my, the mind of Christ was one of consideration toward others, even in their deepest need. My, if we are to have the mind of Christ, then too we must be considerate of others in their need, especially those who are unsaved, out of Christ, on that broad and crowded road to a lost eternity. How we must ever remember the unsaved are without hope, without God, without Christ in this world, and their only hope is the gospel. Their only hope is being saved. And perhaps we are the only contact that they have with the gospel. How important then it is that we walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Yes, as Christians, we're to walk wisely. We're to walk in wisdom towards them that are without. But notice something else here from our text this evening, Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Notice how, as Christians, if we are to walk with God and walk in the ways of God, we're not to waste our time. For you look at what Paul says there in the latter part of verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Notice it, redeeming the time. And that word redeem there means to buy back, if you like, to buy up. In other words, that really means here us making the most of every opportunity that comes our way as Christians to be a blessing to others and to seek to win others to Christ and to spread the good news of the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save. Paul says here we're to redeem our time. We're not to waste our time. And my, our time is so, so precious. Brethren and sisters in Christ, we're not to waste our lives on the vain and the empty things of this world. Rather, our time, our talents, our abilities, whatever they are to be spent for the Lord, for the work of Christ, the cause of Christ, the cause of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. How important it is that we use the time that God has given to us to be a witness for Christ, to spread the gospel, to share the gospel with others, to do good to others. You study the earthly life of Christ, his ministry here on earth, and he never wasted his time. He never wasted an opportunity of doing good to others. The Bible says he went about doing good. Turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. I'll just look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says there himself. And in verse number 4, here you have the healing, the miracle of the man whom the Lord healed, who was blind. And look at the words of Christ in verse 4. Here you see how Christ was, there was a compelling force to use his time on earth to the glory of God the Father. He says in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He knew he was here on earth for a particular period of time. And then that time for him on earth would come to an end. My, while he was here on earth, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He did not waste his time here on earth. Child of God, you and I are to follow the example of Christ in this. The Bible says, redeeming the time, it says, because the days are evil. We live in evil times. We live in ungodly times. And that phrase, our evil days, it reminds us, yes, that our opportunities for Christian service can soon be over. You can be here one day and they can be gone the next. Through death, through sickness, through old age, ill health, through persecution, whatever. Opportunities to serve the Lord that we once had can be taken from us, never to come back our way again as believers and as God's people. The hymn writer says, speed, speed thy work, cast sloth away with great strong wrestlings. Souls are won. And my, the hymn writer there was speaking of an intense burden to use his time to labor for the Lord, to see others saved and won to Christ. Brethren and sisters in Christ, in a few weeks' time, our mission will be upon us, just maybe under a month away. And that's just an opportunity, a window of opportunity to reach out to the community here, to reach out to our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues with the gospel. That will be a brief opportunity, just for a short period of time. That opportunity is before us. Let us do all we can in preparation for that mission to pray, to make it known, to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. That time of opportunity will quickly pass. The night cometh, the Bible says, when no man can work. How we are to not waste our time. We are to redeem our time if we're to walk in the ways of the Lord. Notice one final thought here tonight. Notice that as Christians as well, if we are to walk in the ways of God, yes, we're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, we're to redeem the time. But notice also that we were to be careful of our speech, careful of our words. For if you just look at what Paul says there in verse number 6, remember he's writing to Christians here, to those who are saved. And he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. In other words, if our speech is to glorify the Lord, and is to be worthy of the Lord. It says there it is to be always with grace. In other words, our words are to be gracious words as the people of God. And it says there they are to be seasoned with salt. When we think of salt, we think of purity. And my, our speech is to be pure. It's to be wholesome. It's to be upright. It is to be moral. Paul, writing to the Christians in the church at Ephesus, said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And then he says here that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And that really speaks of wisdom. In other words, speaking the right word to the right person at the right time. It says over in the book of Proverbs that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. In other words, it's precious. It's important. It's of great value. And Job says how forcible are right words. When God gives us a right word, there's a force with that word. There's a power in that word. There's blessing in the word. And my inner interaction with the ungodly, the unsaved, day by day, how we need to pray God will give us the right word, the right opportunity to speak for the Lord, to say the right thing for the Lord, that it might have an impact upon a life, might have an impact upon a soul. Turn with me over there to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And just look here at what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and the verse number 15 here. Speaking to God's people, speaking to the believer, to you and I who are saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." How important that is in our daily life, day by day as God's people. When we're out in the workplace, when we're meeting together maybe with unsaved family members, friends, neighbors, relatives, whatever, that we would always be ready to give an answer for the Lord. Always be ready to tell others of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we should pray for every day in our life as Christians, that God would guide our speech, that our words would be gracious, that they would be honoring to the Lord, and that the Lord would give us opportunities to speak a word for him, a word in season to some poor needy soul. And the Lord can help us and enable us, not through ourselves, not through our own wisdom or our own ability, no, but through the power, through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as God's people. Turn with me in your Bible back to Mark's Gospel chapter 13. Mark's Gospel chapter 13. Look at what Christ says here to his disciples in verse number 11. Mark's Gospel chapter 13 and the verse number 11. He says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." What was he telling the disciples there? He was encouraging that in their time of need, when they needed to witness for Christ, even here in times of persecution and difficulty, he said, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, would help them and guide them and direct them to speak a right word for him. Child of God, that equally applies to you and I as Christians in our daily life, day by day. We can seek God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by his help, by his power, by his wisdom, be enabled in the home, in the workplace, wherever we are, to speak a word for the Lord. And Christian, that's what God wants you and I to do, to reach out to others, to speak to others of Christ, and to speak to them of the Lord our Savior. And through the Lord's help, through the ministry of the Spirit of God, we can be enabled to do that day by day for the glory of the Lord. May the Lord bless these few remarks to our hearts and to our souls this evening. Or maybe just turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 479. 479. "Search me, O God, my actions try, and let my life appear a scene by thine all-searching eye, to mine my ways make clear." 479, we will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. "Search me, O God,
my actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine, O searching eye, to mine my ways make clear. Search all my sense and know my heart, who only canst make known. And let the deep, the hidden part to me be fully known. Draw light into the darkened cells where passion reigns within. Quick in my conscience till it feels the loathsomeness of sin. Search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers where polluted things hold empire o'er the soul. Search till thy fiery glance has cast its holy light through all, and I by grace am brought at last before thy face to fall. Thus prostrate I shall learn of thee what now I feebly prove, that God alone in Christ can be unutterable love.
Amen. Well, we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Do pray, please, for the children's meetings this week, the Word Tonight, so on. The meeting on Friday night, remember the youth fellowship, the Sunday school, the Bible class, and the services on the Lord's Day. Be much in prayer for them, for the going forth of God's word. We thank God for answered prayer in recent times, for visitors coming into the meetings. Pray that that will continue, and even those that come in unsaved would be spoken to and saved by the grace of God. Remember especially the mission in a few weeks' time. I pray for the Lord's servants, the Reverend Ferguson, the Reverend Greenfield, and the Reverend Dean, that they'll know God's help and blessing in those meetings, and that sinners will come in. We want to do a leaflet drop around the area and do all we can to invite people in to those meetings. So be much in prayer for that. Remember the sick as well at this time, those that are ill at this time in our congregation. Let us bring them before the Lord in prayer. Remember our land and all of its need at this time, that there might be that turning to the Lord. And do pray for our missionaries as well, at home and abroad, that God's blessing will be upon them. Remember Brother Colin down in Dublin at this time as well. I want to thank you for your prayers. The meeting last night in Longford Town, there was seven people from out the area who came in to the meeting for by the team that went down to take the meeting. So that was a real answer to prayer, token for good. A few of those, I think, were believers, but there was others there not saved, and then there was gospel literature taken as well. There was a young man in, he had been a heroin addict for some 14 years, and he came into the meeting. But you would see just by his physical demeanor, the effects of drugs upon him and upon his life, not saved. So remember that and pray that God would even speak on to those hearts. Remember the ploughing outreach next week as well, as we go down to Strad Valley and County Leash with the team next week. We'd value prayer for that, that God's hand of blessing will be upon us. We'll get down to prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord, to pray one with another, one for another. Let there be no gaps, and let us pour out our hearts before the Lord. But ask our brother David Muir to lead us.